For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're dealing with the issue that I believe should interest each and every listener today. I believe we need to be well aware of what the Word of God says when we ask the question, God, why? Why the floods? Why the fire? Why the pestilences, diseases? Why the wars and rumors of wars? What's causing all of these things? Is it because somehow, some way, God can do nothing about it? Or is it God because he's sovereign and he's in control? I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
All doing great,
hello,
I think.
Brother Jim.
outstanding. I understand the part where the earth being cursed, you know, God told Adam by the sweat of your brow that you would eat, you know, from the cursed earth. But Dr. Phelps brought up something in the first half of the show that I thought bears a great deal of importance, because he said a couple of things in there, and it's man, what man does to man, and that's warfare, you know, robbery, crime, and a host of other sins there. C.S. Lewis, and I'll just go ahead and do this quote and ask your gentleman's opinion on this, wrote that human reason enables man by 100 indigenous contrivances to inflict a great deal more pain than they otherwise could have done on one another. And that's one of the sound reasons why we have the second part, man's continual sin against man.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear
okay.
me?
I can hear you. I didn't know if there was a direct question. I was waiting for
that. The question was, is should it be addressed in two parts? I mean, the earth is obviously cursed because of the original sin there, but the second part of it is what man does upon man, the warfare, the crime, the rape, the robbery, the murder. I understand that God's in control of everything and that he's sovereign, but man, in his free will, has done some terrible things to man over the course of history.
What say you, Dr. Phelps?
Well, we read in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We believe that verse and others alike testify to the fact that men are sinners. Mm-hmm. And as such, they act the same way that Adam began to act, that is, in disobedience. In disobedience to God, then we've become rebellious. We've become rebellious toward God and toward our fellow man. And all this enters into the great picture that we have discussed or brought up today, that we live in a sinful world, and because of that, God is judging that sin. God is judging people today. And in doing so, we have great catastrophes. We have floods, fires, and many things that happen in our world that only have an explanation. That is, God was in it. God does it. God is trying to get our attention, to call our attention to the fact that He's in control.
Absolutely. And Jim, I'm looking at an article that says the phenomena of the earth opening is a significant event in biblical history. In part, this article says, the opening of the earth, as in the case of Korah in number 16, is often interpreted as God's divine judgment. It serves us as a warning against pride, rebellion, and the rejection of God. And I believe that's a pretty good summary statement in relationship to that. We find so often, especially in America, and you find that generally speaking across all of the heathen, agnostic, atheistic nations and leadership roles, where they're rebelling against God, rejecting God. And I find that to be antithetical to what God would have us to do. And the more we see that, Jim, and to our listening audience, I believe the more we're going to see God's judgment increasing, for God saying, I'm sovereign, I'm in control, look to me, look to me. I believe that it takes, and I've said this so often, it takes God's hand of bringing about catastrophe for man to look up. Have you noticed, Jim, and for our listening audience, after every major catastrophe, churches for 30, 60, or 90 days are filled. People say, we need to go to God. We need to seek God. We need to serve God. We need to worship. I know after the major, major hurricane that crossed the central part of the state of Florida a number of years ago, wiped out, decimated just millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars of property, and lives were taken. For about 90 days, there were, for example, on I-4, I remember seeing one very clearly, says, pray, turn to God. Handmade sign, big sign, out in one of the peach orchards, pray, turn to God. And that was the mindset. It lasted about 90 days. Then we as a people forgot God. I believe God is, if you please, ringing the bell, saying, look up, follow me, obey me, submit to me. And we find that fulfilling what the scripture says for the last days of God's warning signs, benchmarks of the last days. And we're in the last of the last days. So, Jim, it demands our attention as Christians, conservatives, and patriots that we see not what man is doing, but see what God is doing in response to what man is doing, and how we need to turn to God and honor God. Even in the last days, Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 16, we find God using natural disasters to bring about man. In fact, in Revelation 16, left page, right column, verse 20 and 21, the Bible clearly says that big balls of ice, what do you call it?
Hailstones.
total blank. When hailstones fall to size, 100 pounds apiece, rather than it getting man's attention, turning to God, repenting, man in that era, in that day, will shake his fist at God and curse God, the scripture says. That's what God is doing today, trying to get our attention as a nation. Dr. Phelps.
Yes, I'm glad you called attention to that, because I'm reminded that in Luke chapter 21, we're told of the things that point to or are a sign that God is judging the world. And so I'd like to read, if I may, in Luke chapter 21, and we read these words about the possible nearness of the time of the tribulation. What we see are like those signs that will be present during the tribulation when God is judging the unbelieving world. Luke 21 and verse 10 is where I'm going to start. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes, shall be in diverse places, and families, famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. So we believe that these may be just a preview of what God has in mind to bring about during the time of tribulation, when God is punishing the evil world because of the rejection of His Son.
And that is intensifying in the last days, building up to the rapture of the church. Jim, thank you so much, brother, for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe we have Davis on the line. Davis, go ahead with a question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, brothers in Christ. I tell you, I have to agree with everything that has been said, and every thought has been brought to the general public that they can realize their relationship with God. But I'm reminded of in the Bible where they brought the man to Jesus that needed his touch, and they said, well, what has this man sinned because of this, or did his parents sin?
Luke 13.
No, it's so that I would be recognized. And that's the thing I think right now. Even those that know him have forgotten, and then there's some that don't even know, but he allows these things so we realize there is a God that is in control.
Amen.
And if we have a problem, we need to go to him.
Amen. Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself, Brother Davis. It's a matter that as we see this taking place, two or three things, I think, coincide and come together cohesively in this question about why do we see so many disasters. Brother Davis, I believe, number one, it's because God is judging sin. Number two, I believe it's because it's fulfilling the prophetic text as to the signs in the last days before the rapture of the church, 7 years of tribulation, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe thirdly, it is simply God saying, I created this world, I control it. In fact, you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18, talks about the Lord Jesus creating everything, whether it's seen or unseen, whether it's visible or invisible, whether it's on earth or under the earth, whether it's in heaven or under the heavens, that Jesus Christ created it all. And there's a phrase there, and by him, speaking of Jesus, all things consist. That is, Brother Davis, Jesus Christ is the divine super glue that's holding it all together. You reject that super glue and it all, young blood statement, you reject the super glue and it all flies apart. So,
I was talking to a lady the other day, and I said, well, you know, all this is all in God's hand, and he's in charge, and he has the key. She said, he's the master key.
That's right. He's the master key. He's got the master key for the master lock, and that's the master himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll make a good message, Brother Davis. I'll preach on that.
All right, good.
Thank you. God bless you. Keep looking up as we wait on the rapture of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, what say you?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when we are born again and we receive these new hearts and new minds and all these things that comes as a result of the new birth process, and when we get in positions to where we have read and studied as God has commanded us in Scripture to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, containing with things pertaining to His Word, then we become aware that sin is the root cause. Now, I'm going to use the example of King Solomon in Second Chronicles chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 24. When he asked God, when God got ready to set him up to rule over his people, God told him to ask whatever he will, but he did the wise thing. He asked for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And when he began to make this prayer in Second Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 24, which will lead into Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, one that we always use.
Right.
We recite this a whole lot in church, but I don't think some people have really caught the concept yet. But here's what Solomon said prior to Second Chronicles chapter 7, 14, and verse 24. And he said, and if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee. See where his mind is?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house. Then Solomon said, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. Verse 26. When the heaven is shut up. Now listen, that's a direct co-relationship to the people sinning. This is what God does. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee. See, he's still trying to stress that same point about the people sinning. Yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them. Now look at how much problems that sin presents. Mm-hmm. No rain. And now he's saying affliction. He said, verse 27, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. I'm going to stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, once again, he's bringing out the point that sin has caused a lot of things to happen, including affliction unto God's people.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when he went to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, here's what God had to say back to him. I'm going to start at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. 13. Listen at what he said. God said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all these things now. Sin.
That's right. God's doing it.
Amen. You mm-hmm. see, he's telling you now.
He said,
okay,
what if I do it?
If I send pestilence among my people. Now, here's the condition. It can change. He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's the answer.
That's right.
God.
And it,
he's still the answer right now.
And
so we need to make the right choice today.
And it points out what God is in control of. It's not a matter of the weatherman being in control. In fact, I get a little upset when I say they talk about Mother Nature. It's not Mother Nature. It's Father God.
Amen.
That's in control.
Amen.
Mother Nature has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
It's Father God that has something to do with it. And Dr. Davis, as you were talking about that, I believe our listeners need to understand that is where in the last of the last days, we're going to see these things intensify. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will step on the scene and will rule with an iron fist. During the days of the tribulation, God is still at work trying to get man to turn from his sin and say yes to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm looking at the 8th chapter of the book of the Revelation, in chapter 8, chapter 8 and following, especially getting to 8 and 16, you find where the trumpets are sounding and the vials are being poured out and the intensification. What we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, with the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, and the tornadoes, that's just a little tip of the iceberg as to where it's going to be after the church is raptured out. The scripture says in the 8th chapter, the 5th verse, and the angel... There's seven angels. Each one has a vial in his hand or a trumpet in his hand. And the angel filled it with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared therefore themselves to sound. Verse 7, and the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the earth was burned, and all green grass was burned up. Verse 9, the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning, and the fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures and that were in the sea had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Verse 10 of chapter 8, and the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and fell upon the third part of the waters, the rivers, and upon the mountains of waters, and the name of the star was called wormwood. That means bitterness, poison. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, poison, bitter, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And I could go on and on and on. But ladies and gentlemen, I think you get the picture. And what we see today is God's hand at work. It's not happenstance. It's not accidental. It's not the weatherman. It's not the UN. It's not the left or the right from the standpoint of the Congress and the Senate. It's not that at all. It's what God is doing. And I believe, Dr. Phelps, God is saying, I want to get your attention. I'm sovereign. I'm on the throne. You can't dethrone me. I control this whole world. What say you?
God is in control, and he always has been. And God is interested in seeing mankind respond by coming and turning to him in repentance. Mm-hmm. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
And so God wants people to give their attention to him. Look to God, because he is worthy of our attention, our worship.
Absolutely. I'm always amazed when there's a natural disaster, and it's good to have insurance, it's good to have some safety net, if you will, but I'm amazed at people that deny God, reject Jesus, never go to church, never say yes to Christ, never consider the Bible, never consider God's control, that all of a sudden, when a natural disaster comes, pray and say, God, why, rather than saying, God, why not more, why not more harsh, why not do what the Bible says, as you have already said you're going to do in the last days. The mindset is questioning God rather than being, I'm looking at an article that an individual wrote on somewhat portion of this subject. God created the whole universe and the laws of nature. Most natural disasters are a result of these laws at work. Hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes are the result of divergent weather patterns colliding. Earthquakes are the result of Earth's plate structure shifting. A tsunami is caused by an underwater earthquake, and goes on and on and on to explain how this happens. But in all of that is said, God is the one that's doing it. God's in control of it. This article reads further. The Bible proclaims that Jesus Christ holds all nature together. Could God prevent these disasters? Does God sometimes influence the weather? Absolutely, all the time he's in total control of the weather. It's the weatherman. We talk about the weatherman, what the weatherman says, rather than saying, look, what God says. This is what I'm amazed that we have such technology today that the weather can be forecast into the future as much as 7 days in the future as to what's coming. We can see the train coming, as I would call it, and yet very few people turn to God and say, God, I confess that I'm a sinner. This writer goes on to say, the fall of humanity into sin had the effects on everything, including the world that we inhabit today. Everything in creation is subject to the frustration, the decay, and decline, and it's because of sin and its ultimate cause of natural disasters, just as it is the cause of death, disease, and all suffering is because of sin. So, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. So I believe, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, we can say, basically in summary of what we've said, that I believe there's four reasons that we find the natural disasters, as they're called. Four reasons. Number one, to show that God's sovereign, that God's in control. Number two, to warn us of the last days and how close it is for the rapture of the church and how we need to be ready. Dr. Phelps touched on it earlier. God is saying, be ready, be ready, be ready. The end is coming quickly. That's what we see in the last of the last days. That's what Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13 talks about, is the signs of the last days. So if God is speaking, and he is, if God is sovereign, and he is, and if God's given us the signs, and he has, Dr. Phelps, a very simple question. How should we then live?
One of the things that the Bible teaches is that our response should be that of turning to God from sin. Now notice how I said that, to God from sin. And that is a good way to speak of biblical repentance. Man needs to change. We need to let God transform our lives. And it's only by our turning to him and in humility, then acknowledging him as the God as the Creator God and as the Savior God of the world.
Absolutely. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking too, what we see in these natural disasters, also the scripture talks about pestilences, diseases. We see an absolute influence today in the world of these diseases. In fact, Sir Anthony Fauci, Dr. Mengele of the 30s, decided that he was going to take advantage of that, create a new pathogen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to take lives, and then claim he didn't know, or that somehow, some way, he had made a mistake, or somehow, some way, that he's Dr. Science. But ladies and gentlemen, all of that is still in the control of God. God, as man has a sickness, as we get sick, as we have a disease, it's designed to get our attention that we'll turn to God as the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him for the answers in life and not turning to government or to self. Dr. Davis, we've got about a minute. Take this time and talk about what we've said. I've said that there's four things: to show the sovereignty of God, that I'm in control, to warn of the last days, and to draw all men unto himself, and to judge sin. How do you wrap that up for our listeners today?
Well, once again, we need to thank God for providing us with the information about these things in the scripture. All we have to do is read it. I mean, it's there. He's not letting anything take us over by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to Joel chapter 2 and verses 30, 31, and 32, he said, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come."
That's right.
But verse 32, most importantly, he give you the answer. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord,
amen,
shall be delivered."
Amen.
That's the whole answer to the whole thing.
That's the answer to the whole thing. So as we say, ladies and gentlemen, let me just wrap up with a little neat bow on our survey and issue today. As we see God's sovereignty, God's in control. God is the one bringing about all weather, not some, not part, all weather. God is the one that's bringing about all of the diseases. God's the one that's bringing about all of the wars and rumors of wars. And it's designed as a judgment of sin to get man to turn to God while we have the opportunity to do so, to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.